Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
President Trump announced on May 17, 2026, we're inviting Americans from all across the country to come together on our National Mall to pray, give thanks, and rededicate America as one nation under God. Now, we've purchased tickets for a ride to D.C. Arlington, a.k.a. Ronald Reagan National Airport, to attend this May 17 event. It's called Rededicate 250, to reaffirm America as one nation under God. I'll be attending as an ambassador for Christ, representing Lighthouse Baptist Church. If any of you plan to attend the event, let me know, and we can meet up together on the mall. Contact me on our listener response hotline. That number is 1-805-314-2114, and I'll repeat it at the end of the show. Contact me via email at www.brainmassage.net. Find contact in the menu bar and send me an email letting me know that you'll be praying for me on this trip and whether or not you plan to be there. Russ Miller, a relative of the late, great, famous songwriter and singer Roger Miller, remember King of the Road, will be with us beginning Saturday at 9:30 a.m. to noon there at the Lighthouse, and then all day Sunday for all of our regularly scheduled services. Russ is the founder of Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries, and also Grand Canyon Rim and Raft Tours in Arizona. His knowledge of his subject, creation, evolution, and all that, is unparalleled. Be our guest Saturday, May 2nd, beginning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday during our regular worship schedule. Let's get started. Consent of the governed is a biblical doctrine and an inalienable right of man. But like all rights, it can be subjugated through oppression if we allow it. Let's talk about the Save America Act. Bianco, Hilton, or write-in candidate Chian. In either case, it is a new deal for Californians. Why evangelical Christians seem to have a hard time navigating the political landscape and what we need to do about it. Get a load of this. Today, Friday, April 24, 2026, Trump has authorized the resumption of firing squads for federal executions. Now, we are also looking into streamlining internal processes to expedite death penalty cases. Well, that's what the Bible says. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Our minister of God and his staff, his team, his administration keeps doing stuff that looks just like, you know, God's directing him, for he is appointed to execute wrath against the evildoers. Iran update. Our negotiating team is on their way to Pakistan to continue peace talks with the Iraniac team, at least that's the latest. What brought the Iraniacs back to the peace table? Well, I've wondered how these devils would make sure they get their paychecks. Apparently, they've been frantically putting their money into cryptocurrencies held in Gulf Nation banks. Besant has sought and received cooperation from those banks to look for any Iraniac regime money hiding in cryptocurrencies in their banks. And voila, there he found $344 million linked to regime officials. Secretary Scott Bessent encouraged these banks to freeze these monies, and they agreed. They're cooperating. Wow, I've got so much material to cover in so little time. I'll have to take care of the rest of this during the Brain Massage Live podcast Saturday night, and that's April 25, 2026. I go on probably between 8 and 9 p.m. My friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Consent of the governed is a biblical doctrine and an inalienable right of man. But like all rights, it can be subjugated through oppressors if we allow it. Let's talk about the Save America Act. Anna Paulina wants to attach the Save America Act to the FISA funding bill. That's something, she said, these senators will crawl over cut glass to pass. Well, she's a fighter, and she knows what battles to choose and what hills to, if necessary, die on, or what hills to make the enemy die on. I like that better. Did you know that the political doctrine of consent of the governed is rooted in the Bible and that it is an intrinsic element of the gospel? This doctrine places the power of government and ultimately the responsibility for its use of power squarely in the hands of we the people. Now, these are very serious and important assertions. Did you know that Locke's views on the right of consent and the general acceptance of those views during the colonial period before the Revolution were capitalized on by Thomas Paine, who famously wrote the book of the pamphlet Common Sense that rallied the colonists into the Revolutionary War for independence? Now, I'll save my comments on Paine's painful distortions of Locke's views for my book, The Consent of the Governed, A Divinely Endowed Right of Man, The Bible and the Doctrine of Consent. But the fact is, Paine's tract, Common Sense, radicalized the doctrine of consent, including the fact that while man cannot remove the right from nature, it's intrinsic in God's creation, he can forfeit his right by exercising the power of consent in consenting to tyranny. John Locke drew directly from Scripture more than any of the other persons responsible for the articulation and establishment of this doctrine, is considered by most to be the first in modern age to lay out a biblical grounding for government. He understood the essential principle that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. It should be understood that Locke was saying this is a natural or a universal law intrinsic to God's creation of man. In other words, this is true without regard to tyrannical rule. Tyrants don't make us slaves. We allow them to. The tyrant has a greater dependency on consent than the benevolent ruler or the benevolent government, which recognizes and submits to the doctrine. That's why tyrants are so jealous to protect their power against the people that they rule. You see, the means by which they secure consent is torture, fear, intimidation, cruelty, and control of their livelihoods. Whether it is through seduction by bribes from the government, like we have in America, or destruction of the people's will to resist, which also goes on here, the dictator depends upon the willing surrender of the people to his rule and to his dominion. In other words, every dictator depends on consent. However, God has given consent to mankind, and only those who surrender it in fear or trade will live under tyranny. Every people who rise and declare, "Give me liberty or give me death," will be free. No tyrant can rule a man freed by truth and in whom dwells the spirit of liberty, or where that spirit prevails in a culture. And that, my friend, is the whole reason tyrannical governments cannot allow truth or countenance the spirit of Christ. For the truth will make you free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There are many examples of the right of consent to be found in the Bible. One of the most powerful declarations of this principle is found in Jesus' words when he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, and ye would not." He would, but they denied to give their consent. Jesus talks about this in one of his parables, those who will say after him, "We will not have that man to reign over us," in Luke 19, beginning at verse 12. The Democrats hate the consent doctrine. They want to destroy our ability to use it to fire them or to decide who will rule in America. They don't want the American people deciding who rules them. They want the Democrat Party to decide that. Now, you've watched this in action. And you say, where? Well, remember what they did to Bernie? I don't like Bernie, but what they did was so undemocratic. They manipulated him and put him aside for Hillary. And then Biden, they just put him aside for Kamala? They really need to rename their party the Anti-Democratic Party. Lately, they scuttled Swalwell in a similar fashion. We expect the Democrats to oppose proof of citizenship to register, voter ID to vote, restrictions on mail-in ballots, and same-day in-person voting because those things will get in the way of their ability to steal elections. But Republicans control the House and the Senate, so what's the problem? Well, friend, newsflash, if you haven't already noticed it, not all Republicans believe in Republican representative government with leaders chosen by the people. At least five of them believe they can use the power the people gave them to manipulate the system and deprive the people of their sacred right to vote. Actually, they don't care if you vote. They just want to control the outcome, you see? And that's why they refuse to enact common sense laws to protect the integrity of our elections, even though above 90% of the population want these things to be taken care of. These dirty dog Republican traitors to the right of consent are Senators Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, Tom Tillis, Republican North Carolina, Lisa Murkowski, Republican Alaska, Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, and John Thune, Republican South Dakota. Why do they stand opposed to a bill supported by over 90% of the population? I mean, you know, you could combine Democrats, Republicans, and Independents in that. Overwhelmingly, they approve a proof of citizenship to register, voter ID to vote, and a great majority want restrictions on mail-in ballots and enforcement of election day, not week or month or whatever. Anyway, these senators arrogantly refuse to yield to the will of the people. They are willful. So how does the doctrine of consent work in this case? Well, we rise up and make it too big to rig again. We overwhelm these devils in November. It is time for every good man to come to the aid of his country. I remember typing that hundreds of times in school when learning how to use a keyboard. But my friend, patriotism is an instinct. And though it lay dormant in many hearts, like a coal unlit, it needs only to be ignited by the fire of liberty to flame brightly again in the souls of the young, the middle-aged, and the old alike. Rise up, America, seize your power and use it to send a message to Washington that these traitors and every devil that controls their evil minds will not soon forget. Okay, I need to conclude this segment. You heard that the Virginia referendum narrowly passed, allowing the Democrat-led legislature there in Virginia to intentionally redraw its state districts, increasing Democrat control of Virginia from what is now a narrow margin of something like 6-5 to an outrageous 10-1, 10 Democrats to 1 Republican margin of control. A lower court has already issued a permanent injunction against certifying the election results. And according to the former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, the Supreme Court of Virginia is very likely to rule that what the legislature did is contrary to the state's constitution. Well, because it is. Now, listen to his reasoning here. I'll link in my notes. The man is a lifelong Virginian and intimately knowledgeable of Virginia's politics and law, having been an AG. So he's worth hearing and listening on this point. He says he would not be surprised if the Virginia Supreme Court rules unanimously against this bill. Well, we'll see. The fight to protect election integrity is a battle over the right of consent. Don't consent to the left or you'll lose your voice. Protect our elections and our sacred right to vote. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoyed the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Bianco Hilton or write-in candidate Cheon. In either of these cases, it's going to be a new deal for Californians. Why evangelical Christians have a hard time navigating the political landscape and what we need to do about it. Evangelical Christians so often have a hard time navigating the political landscape, and I've been thinking about why. First, there's confusion over what is wisdom from above as opposed to wisdom from below. James 3:15-17. You don't want to use that wisdom from below. But on the other hand, you do need to have some wisdom from above, which is illustrated in Luke 16:8 when Jesus said, "The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now, I preach entire messages on this. We don't have time to go into it in any further detail, but the children of disobedience understand and use political power. The children of light have been, well, basically uninterested in political power for a very long time. The truth is, we've yielded that sphere of our governance to Satan's children of this world. We were deceived into thinking it had nothing to do with us, that the pulpit had nothing to say about politics. This began under that devil President Johnson, you know, the one who very likely had a hand in the assassination of JFK. And by the way, I'm preparing a special for the weekend of November 22nd this year, the anniversary of the assassination, that I think you're going to find very intriguing. Anyway, one problem evangelical Christians have when attempting to engage in politics is that, frankly, we don't have a heritage of involvement this way like the Catholics do. We don't have the theological underpinnings to motivate us to do that. In fact, we've had the opposite. And you really need to read my book, God's War. It provides the biblical basis for believers' full engagement in politics, as well as every sphere of life on this planet. And this is needed because, unlike the Catholics, we have shied away from politics, and consequently, we've surrendered that sphere to darkness. In my book, I provide a biblical understanding of a believer's role in every sphere of life on this planet. And right now, you can get a hardbound copy of God's War for only $10 plus shipping. I mean, it retails at $41. Go to books@dbp.com and order a copy today. Another thing believers don't understand is the role of money in politics. Ecclesiastes 10:19, money answereth all things, counterbalanced with 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money isn't the root of all evil, but the love of it is. Friend, the Bible says money answers all things. It answers a very important need with regard to becoming known in a large state like California. You're going to have money to succeed. Believers have got to be discerning where they invest and whom they support, but investment and support are absolutely essential. You've got to make sacrifices. You've got to get in the game financially. Finally, it all comes down to a failure to rightly understand faith, leading to confusing it with folly. Look, God does not wave magic wands to make things happen. He uses means, not magic. Check your Bible. If we foolishly presume on God, well, let's just say there is something called the presumptuous sin. In fact, Peter ties this to those who despise government. Little newsflash for you here. The word despise means to disrespect or dismiss. And of course, that applies to someone who has contempt for the rule of law. But it would also apply to anyone who disregards government as irrelevant to them or their lives or outside their area of responsibility. It's certainly a sin for preachers, men of God, to have contempt for speaking the truth of God's word to sins anywhere, including in government, or failing to give direction from the light of God's word to those appointed by him for the exercise of the powers that he ordained, whose officers are called by him ministers of God. What sort of arrogance is this, that Christians suppose they can withdraw the light of God's word from government and then complain at the darkness that prevails? The Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC, was indicted lately on 11 criminal counts. Champion of the left against white supremacy, the Southern Poverty Law Center was sending donors' dollars to the KKK. Shouldn't that surprise us? Oh, I know why it doesn't surprise any of us. It's because the SPLC with the ACLU is one of the two legal arms of the Democrat Party. And as we all know, the Democrats are party of Jim Crow, the party of KKK, the party of CCP, the party of blackface, literally and metaphorically. Think about it. So no, I'm not at all surprised. Among the charges against the Southern Poverty Law Center are these: from at least 2014 through 2023, with the underlying informant network dating back to the 1980s, the SPLC allegedly secretly funneled more than $3 million in donor funds to individuals associated with or in leadership positions within violent extremist groups. Named groups include the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, Unite the Right, National Alliance, National Socialist Movement, Aryan Nations Affiliated, Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club, National Socialist Policy of America, the American Nazi Party, and American Front. The SPLC is accused of using false representations and omissions when soliciting donations, telling donors the money would fight extremism while allegedly using it to pay the very groups it publicly denounced. Now, to conceal the payments, the organization allegedly created fictitious entities and bank accounts, made false statements to banks, and engaged in concealment money laundering. The SPLC CEO, Brian Fair, denies all allegations, claims they are politically motivated. You know, the SPLC is not politically motivated, of course. If you ask Majid Nawaz, a former Islamist who turned liberal Islam reformer and founded the Willem Foundation to counter Muslim extremism, well, you'll hear a different story. The SPLC placed this gentle and reasonable organization on its hate group list. Why? Right up there with pro-life Christians like the Family Research Council. Anybody familiar with that group knows it's absolutely absurd to call Dobson and his group a hate group. The SPLC Democrat legal bulldog, I call them bully dog, and they raged against Dobson's organization because of the audacity of believing what the Bible says about homosexuality and the murdering of babies in their mother's wombs. So the SPLC has, from its inception, equated policy opponents as violent extremists. This raging Antichrist organization, read Psalm 2, has targeted the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Ruth Institute, and many others, calling them hate groups and creating political problems for these organizations. They rage against the bands and cords of Christ, like traditional marriage or religious liberty. SPLC wants these bands and cords cast off, read Psalm 2. The Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine was attacked by the SPLC. Credentialed medical professionals falsely smeared by them as practitioners of pseudoscience. You know, the Fauci kind of science. That's the kind they like. But people who point out the obvious biological distinctions of male and female, well, the SPLC calls that pseudoscience. The Antichrist Southern Poverty Law Center uses its resources to break the bands and cords of Christ in their rage against his rule over the earth, read Psalm 2. The SPLC has attacked Moms for Liberty, PragerU, Turning Point USA, calling them hard right organizations and extremists. But when challenged to explain why they don't call out the hard left, well, they respond by saying they are, quote, not really set up to cover the extreme left, end quote. But they were very busy lumping Orthodox Christians with Nazis. Why is it that every time we get a look inside these God-hating, Christ is Lord-denying Antichrist organizations, it reeks of the sulfur of hell and the writhing worms of that infernal place? Quote, internal scandals revealing hypocrisy. Their CEO was fired amid allegations of sexual harassment and a toxic workplace. Staff letters accused leadership of systemic racial and gender discrimination, pushing out people of color while the organization raised hundreds of millions fighting so-called hate. Former employees and outlets like The New Yorker described a culture where fundraising off exaggerated threats took priority over principles. Even Politico weighed in and called the SPLC, quote, more of a partisan progressive hit operation than a civil rights watchdog, end quote. Guess what? Nah, you'll never guess it. I'm going to have to tell you, the FBI received several complaints against the SPLC and opened a case file to begin investigations during Biden's term. Cash found the file and, amidst new allegations, reopened the investigation. But he can't tell us why Biden's FBI quashed the investigation. He doesn't need to. We already know. All right, let's look at an Iran update as I close. Our negotiating team is on its way to Pakistan to continue peace talks with the Iraniac team. The vice president will not be accompanying them. Perhaps the vice president and the president will let Steve and Jared find out if they're really serious this time, or maybe there's another reason. Guess what? The hardliner, the guy that was forced into the lead of the negotiations by the IRGC command, reputed to be a strong boss, the guy everyone else would have to check with before anything could be accepted, the guy who pushed the non-negotiable nuclear issue back into the talks after it was already agreed to, Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf, I guess he got fired. A report from Iran International, April 24, 2026, today, reported that Ghalibaf was reprimanded for attempting to include the nuclear issue in talks with Washington and was forced to resign. The IRGC is denying Ghalibaf was fired and insisting there are no plans for talks in Pakistan, that Arachi is not going to Pakistan to renew talks with the U.S., but only to talk to the Pakistanis. So, think about it. It looks like the fractured leadership in Iran is about to break, as I think the president expects and as I predicted. The president prefers peace, but so far, when he speaks for peace, they are for war. David observed this about these children of Ishmael long ago. I am for peace, he said, but when I speak, they are for war. It's interesting, he mentions Meshach and Kedar in verse 5. Well, Meshach is commonly associated with Russia, but most identify it with Turkey. Kedar is associated with the Arab nomads descended from Ishmael. He describes himself as dwelling or sojourning among them, living in their tents, and said, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 125-7. Trump, reading Psalm 120, can certainly see his own dealings with these children of Ishmael today. Well, my friend, I have lit the lamps in Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see that they are on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, complete the form, and click send. Or you can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 1-805-314-2114. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m. Go to God's War 2020.com.